Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. We rely on the generosity of our listeners to sustain this ministry and the message of Messianic Judaism for all nations. Please consider making a donation to Beth Emmanuel by clicking on the Donate tab at BethEmmanuel.org.
Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters. We are watching the birth pangs of Messiah, live on television, in the newspapers, and our local community. As our master describes them, saying wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and plagues in various places. In the last week, we have had all of the above. We have wars in the Middle East, we have earthquakes in North America, and a worldwide pandemic to contend with. The world seems poised on the edge of collapse. But when you see these things happening, Yeshua says, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing nigh. So keep watching the clouds for the Master and listening for his trumpet. And speaking of trumpets, we had an earthquake in Salt Lake City a few days ago. A 5.7 magnitude earthquake on Wednesday damaged the city, and it also damaged one of Utah's most famous icons. Standing on top of the Mormon temple in Salt Lake City is a golden statue of an angel holding a trumpet to his lips. It's supposed to be sounding the trumpet of the Lord. It's been there since 1892, but on Wednesday, the earthquake shook the Mormon temple and the angel dropped his trumpet. And I'm thinking, that's got to be a sign. Well, all of these things are signs. They are signs. You know what they're signs of? They are signs that we should repent. That we, the disciples of Yeshua, we should repent. That the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, should repent. Because judgment begins with the household of God. But also that the whole world should repent. Because the coming of the Master is near. This Shabbat is Shabbat HaChodesh. That is the Sabbath before the new moon of the month of Nisan. The new moon of Rosh Chodesh Nisan will be on the fifth day of the week, this Thursday, which is coming to us and to all Israel for a life of peace, for a life of blessing, a life of goodness, a life of good health, in the merit and virtue of our Holy Master Yeshua, who gave his life as a ransom for sin in the month of Nisan and rose to eternal life in the month of Nisan. It's the Passover month, the month of redemption. So I wish you all a Chodesh Tov, a good month, a month of good health. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is also the anniversary of the day that Moses erected the tabernacle and initiated the holy service. And it's the anniversary of the day that the presence of God descended upon the tabernacle as a cloud of glory filled the Mishkan. All of that happens in our Torah portion this week, because our Torah portion this week is a double portion. It's two of them together this Sabbath that we're going to be reading, like the double portion of manna. So we're doubly blessed as we finish the entire book of Exodus. We finish the book of Shemot in one go. This Torah portion then narrates the story of the contribution of the community of Israel as they're bringing their gifts to for the building of the tabernacle, for the construction of the tabernacle, and then it goes on to tell the story of building the tabernacle and the holy furnishings and the priestly garments, making the priestly garments for Aaron and his sons, and how Moses finally sets it all up in the presence of God, and the presence of God fills the holy tabernacle, and so much so that Moses himself says is unable to enter because the weight of the glory of God has so filled the tabernacle. All right, so that's a summary of our Torah portion, and then we have the cloud of glory at the very end. But before all of that, before Moses even starts to give the instructions for the building of the tabernacle, lest anyone should think, so long as I'm building the tabernacle, I guess it's okay if I work on the Sabbath. The Sabbath prohibitions don't really apply to me as long as I'm doing holy work. Lest anyone should be thinking that, before Moses even mentions the tabernacle or mentions taking a contribution for the building of the Mishkan, he first says, 6 days work shall be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a Sabbath, a solemn rest, holy to the Lord. With these words, he reminds the Jewish people of their covenantal obligation to observe the Sabbath. He says, whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. Understand that he's speaking to the Jewish people. And the specific type of work that he's talking about is the type of labor it takes to make a tabernacle. And when I say that the Jewish people are obligated to the Shabbat, in a way that the Gentile disciples are not obligated, it's with regard to this prohibition. The prohibition on performing the types of work that it takes to make the tabernacle. And this is how we know the 39 prohibitions of Shabbat, the 39 types of malacha. Gentile disciples of Yeshua are not under that same mandate or prohibition. But that's not to say that a Gentile disciple is prohibited from celebrating and remembering the Sabbath. I wish that every disciple of Yeshua, both Jews and Gentiles, had a love for the holiness of the Shabbat. In the Gospels, it says that on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. Yeshua loved the Shabbat. He loved the holiness of the Shabbat. He loved to observe the Shabbat. It was the day that he delighted in, his Father's day. And it was the custom of the Master to attend the synagogue every Shabbat. And not only a custom for Yeshua, actually, but a custom common to most Jewish people in his world. All the religious, all the observant Jews in his world, and even the secularized, the Hellenized, would attend the synagogue on Shabbat. And so too in our own world, to observant Jews and Messianic Gentiles, even in our world of Messianic Jewish practice, it's our custom to attend the synagogue on the Shabbat. Therefore, I want to give you some advice on how to celebrate the Sabbath while maintaining social distancing and living in quarantine during these birth pangs of Messiah. For us here at Beth Emmanuel, this is our second Shabbat since curtailing the services, and the first Shabbat that we have actually completely closed the doors of our building out of concern over the communicable nature of COVID-19, the novel coronavirus, which has brought life on planet Earth as we knew it to an abrupt, albeit temporary, stop. Under the current situation, if attending synagogue services is ordinarily a part of your regular routine, you might be off your game for a few Shabbats. And for that reason, I thought it would be a good idea to offer a few tips on observing Shabbat at home. Actually, to tell the truth, I'm sort of an old pro at this because before there was a Beth Emmanuel, my family spent several years outside of the Messianic Jewish movement proper, observing Shabbat all by ourselves at home. And at that time, the children were a lot younger, and sometimes it was difficult to occupy them for the duration of the time. So, you know, we had some experience in this department, and that's why we prayed for the formation of a community like Beth Emmanuel. But here's what you do to keep the Sabbath at home under the rules of social distancing and lockdowns and whatever else they're calling it. To begin with, you start preparing for Shabbat earlier in the week. Whether you live alone or in a family situation or with other people in your same residence, you begin your observance of Shabbat preparing for it as you would for any other Shabbat. Just make sure that there are clean clothes for Sabbath, for example. I mean, you want to dress up for the Sabbath, preferably nice clothes. Remember, we dress up on Shabbat for the honor of the Sabbath, not to impress one another. It's not for men. It's not to look good to others. It's to look good for the Sabbath. So even if you live alone and nobody's going to see you, you want to dress appropriately for Shabbat. Don't grub out just because you're at home and not at synagogue. I mean, you can dress comfortably, but dress decently and in a manner that's going to give honor to the Sabbath, and clean up the house and tidy things up in preparation for the holy day. You know, you make the beds, you clean yourself up and prepare the food ahead of time. Make a nice meal for Friday night and carry on with Friday night Shabbat rituals at the table with the bread and the wine if they're available. And if that's not available, you can make kiddush over a glass of water if necessary. The point is, you do your best with what you have to honor the Sabbath. One of my favorite Hasidic stories tells about a destitute couple who had no money for bread or wine or chicken for Shabbat, and they had no food at all. So the wife said, I can't make chicken or challah, but at least I can clean the house in honor of Shabbat. So she put all of her energy into preparing the house for Shabbat, because that's all she could do. And while she was sweeping the floor, she discovered a piece of lost jewelry that she had lost some time ago. So with joy, she ran down, she ran to town, she sold the jewelry, she bought chicken for soup and fresh hot bread and wine, and her husband came home and he said, "What happened here? It's a miracle." The point is, we do what we can with what we have. Moreover, we put out the best that we have and the best that we can in honor of Sabbath, even if you're only cooking for yourself. We take it up a notch on Shabbat. And remember to prepare enough to last you through the day on Saturday. As it says, on the sixth day, they gathered a double portion. So you light the candles, set the table before sunset in honor of the Sabbath, and go ahead and pray through the Psalms of Kabbalat Shabbat, the welcoming of the Sabbath, as Shabbat is drawing near. Take the time to meditate on the Psalms. Use the time to clear away the stresses and concerns and worries of the week. I mean, this is really important. This is the transition into Shabbat. The Psalms of Kabbalat Shabbat are Psalms about the coming kingdom, because the Sabbath is a foretaste of the coming kingdom, and it's a taste of the world to come. So we read these Psalms that put us in mind of the coming kingdom. And you can find this section of Kabbalat Shabbat in any siddur. So take the time to quiet your mind as you're entering Sabbath. Focus yourself on God and imagine yourself to be basking in the light of His presence. Let all the news reports and press conferences and CNN and Fox News and the political grandstanding and mudslinging and all the worried chatter about the virus and the state of the world just slip away from you as you welcome the Sabbath and pray the evening prayers and say the Shema and the Shabbat prayers of Mariv. Of course, while we are sequestered, we suffer a lack of fellowship on the Sabbath day, but we can compensate for that by inviting the presence of our Master to be with us as our guest on the Sabbath day. In truth, we are His guests at His table, in His home for Shabbat. When you come to the table, bless the children. If you don't have any children, pray for your brothers and sisters. Greet the Shabbat angels. Say the blessings of Kiddush and Hamotzi like you would on any other Sabbath, even if you're all by yourself, even if you're eating all alone. Tonight, the Sabbath herself is a guest at your table. Sing her the Eshet Chayil. If you're hunkering down with your family or your roommates, agree ahead of time to try to focus your table conversations on the Torah portion. Some words of Torah, some words of the kingdom, some words of the Master. That would be ideal. But don't be a Shabbat despot or a Sabbath police trying to force people to act godly, because that's obnoxious. But do your best to subtly steer the conversation at the table. And all through the Sabbath day, back to the center. It's the Lord's day. It's His holy day. So sing some songs at the table, even if you're all by yourself. Sing some spiritual songs. It doesn't matter if you can't sing. You just make a melody. Sing a little bit. Enjoy the Shabbat Shalom. And then when you get up in the morning, get dressed and pray. Go through your Sabbath prayers just as if you were in the synagogue, but without those prayers that depend on a synagogue, on a minyan. So you don't need to do the cantor's repetitions. You don't need to say the Kaddish or the Baruch Hu or the Kedusha. But you can pray through the prayers on your own. You should know how to do that. You can do that individually, or you might do some prayers together with your family or roommates, whoever, if that feels comfortable and not too forced. But the point is that it's not Saturday morning cartoon time. Just because you're home on Shabbat doesn't mean it's not Shabbat. We still pray. We still offer up praises, psalms, thanksgivings, and prayers. It's still holy time. Take some time to focus in prayer. You know, before you pray, since you have time, unlike in the synagogue where you're just racing along to find the right page of the siddur and keep up with the cantor, now you have some time to really focus. Clear your mind. To clear your mind of all extraneous thoughts when you pray. Try that. Try to focus on the light of Hashem and direct your prayers toward heaven. When distracting thoughts arise in your mind, or your mind starts to chatter away while you're trying to pray, don't worry about it. Don't let that stress you out. Don't let that distract you. Just let those thoughts run off you like water off a duck's back. Let them run downstream and away from you, while you stay in the moment. your mind like calm water, still and silent before Hashem. Even if you have to do this over and over again while you're praying, turn your mind back to the quietness that you have before the Lord. Let your heart pray and just feel what it's like to be with God. Tell your brain to be quiet because your soul, your neshama, is trying to pray. It is praying. It's connecting with Hashem. You, the real you, is connecting with Hashem. On the Sabbath day, you have extra time to just bask in the presence of God. The light from the presence of God will strengthen you for the remaining 6 days to come, so you want to soak up as much of that light as you can on the Sabbath. Then read the Torah portion. You know, maybe read it together if you're with other people in your household, or if you're by yourself, just read it to yourself. And read the Haftarah portion too. This is one of my favorite parts of Shabbat at home. During the week, I don't always prioritize my time well, so I often fail to get the whole Torah portion read, but on the Shabbat, there's no excuse. So read the whole Parsha, and that's actually better than you get at Beth Emanuel, because you're going to get the whole Parsha, not just a token amount, and you're going to get it in a language you can understand. Last week, the first week of the sequester, I was amazed at several correspondences to the current world situation that just came right out of the Torah portion. And I often ask, does life imitate the Torah portion, or does the Torah portion imitate life, right? It started right away in last week's Parsha, when I read about the mitzvah of the half-shekel coin, which we had done just a few days earlier on the fast of Esther, a day that we had set aside as a day of prayer and fasting regarding the coronavirus. By coincidence, or better yet, by God's divine design, that is also the day for the half-shekel. The half shekel, that's the 3 50-cent pieces that Jewish people donate to charity on the fast of Esther before Purim starts. It's a remembrance of the mitzvah of the half shekel. That's what I'm talking about. And what did the Torah portion say about the half shekel? Did you notice? Right at the beginning, it's right at the first words of the Torah portion last week. It said, when you take the census of the people of Israel, then each shall give a ransom for his life to Hashem. That's the half shekel. When you number them, so that there shall be no plague among them when you number them. That it may bring the people of Israel to remembrance before the Lord so as to make atonement for your lives, that there should be no plague among the people of Israel. What a coincidence that this text was the opening of the Torah reading for last Shabbat. And it was in regard to the half-shekel mitzvah, which we had honored on the fast of Esther, which just happened to be the day that we set aside as a day of prayer and fasting regarding the COVID-19 coronavirus. Moreover, the words, when you take a census, took on even more weight later in the afternoon, personally for me, when the mail arrived, and among the letters and junk mail that came in the mail was the 2020 census form. Another coincidence. I mean, there it was, when you take a census, and then I get the census mail, the census comes in the mail, which happens only once every 10 years. One day out of 10 years, and it happened on the Shabbat that begins with the words, when you take a census. Another coincidence, right? I mean, I'm being a little silly, but there are no coincidences with Hashem. God speaks through the Torah, through his word. And if we're paying attention and diligent to look into his word, he speaks today. My brain made some other obvious correlations. For example, the Torah portion talked about the laver, and it gave the mitzvah to the priests that they should wash their hands and feet when they approach the altar, lest they die. And from this mitzvah, to wash their hands and feet, from this mitzvah is derived the Jewish custom of hand washing, which right now, the whole world has begun to observe the custom of hand washing, as it says in the Torah, lest they die. I thought, well, that's apropos. And then it went on to speak about the mitzvah of the incense and the altar of incense and the formula for the incense. And we read later in the Torah, when we come to Parshat Korach, about how Aaron, the priest, took this incense and he ran out to stop the plague, and he stood between the living and the dead and put a halt to the plague. Finally, since I was reading the English translation of the Art Scroll Chumash, I took special delight in the description of Moses and his conduct after coming back down the mountain with the second set of tablets. It said, and I'm reading from the Stone edition here in Exodus 34:22, Moses finished speaking with them and placed a mask on his face. Eh? A mask? Get it? When Moses would come before Hashem to speak with him, he would remove the mask until his departure. And then he would leave and tell the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. When the children of Israel saw Moses' face, that Moses' face had become radiant, Moses put the mask back on his face. All right, so you don't need the newspaper or CNN or Fox News. You've got the Torah. So read the Torah portion, the Haftarah, and then pray Musaf. Then make lunch. Declare the Sabbath to be holy with a holy lunch. That's what Kiddush Rabbah is all about. It's a holy lunch. It's really just a matter of declaring the Sabbath holy and making a blessing over the wine or the juice, if you have it available, or whatever it is, and then you're ready for lunch. Or if you got started really early, maybe it's still breakfast time. What about getting outside a little bit? The Sabbath is a wonderful day for taking gentle walks and enjoying God's creation. And the truth is, if you're not Jewish, getting out into creation and enjoying nature is one of the things that rabbinic authorities recommend for non-Jews who want to honor the Sabbath. Why? Because it's one of the best ways to connect with God. And if you're not Jewish, so you're not under the restrictions imposed by Sabbath limits and travel and so forth, you can really take advantage of this. Get out in God's good creation and enjoy the natural beauty of the heavens and the earth that God created in 6 days before he rested from all the work of creating on the seventh day. This is a wonderful way to spend some time on Sabbath, so long as you remember to couple that experience of enjoying creation with a quieting of your heart and a focus on Hashem. I mean, it would be easy to transform the Sabbath into just a day of outings and adventures in the wilderness and completely lose the sanctity of the Sabbath. We don't want to do that. I'm not talking whitewater rafting, paragliding, spelunking, or backpacking. We're looking for a contemplative experience in the woods or something, you know? So it's not, what I'm saying is, it's necessary if you're going to go out and enjoy the outdoors, maybe go on a hike on the Sabbath or a walk in the woods, whatever the case may be, that you couple that with a real focus on Hashem and a quieting of your heart and a stillness in your spirit so that you can take the opportunity to bask in God's presence and to experience Him through the natural world. If you'll do this, if you will do this and look for what Hashem is trying to communicate to you in every tree and every stone, in every cloud or flowing stream, in the song of birds or the whisper of wind, that can be a profound encounter with the Almighty. Use the Sabbath day to be quiet and to quiet your brain, to quiet the chaos in your brain, to let go of all the stress of the current situation and all the worry of the world. We want to set it all aside on the Sabbath and remember the Master's words, each day has enough trouble of its own. Quiet your heart, quiet your soul, quiet your spirit on the Sabbath day before the Lord. All right, those of you cooped up in a house with young children are probably listening to this thinking, get real, Pastor Lancaster. Okay, I'll get real. The reality is that those young children you're cooped up with will all too soon be grown up. God is giving you an opportunity to spend extra time with them, to focus on them, and to just be with them on the Sabbath. I mean, so often as adults, our whole game plan with kids is just to distract them and entertain them and to get them, you know, just management. I mean, sometimes we feel like we need to be entertaining kids, but they aren't so concerned with being entertained as they are with just being with you. I mean, being with you. They want you. This is what they really hunger for. They want you to be focused on them, to be actually present in the moment with them, not just trying to pacify them or quiet them, but to spend real time in the moment with them. Keeping Sabbath at home is an opportunity for extra attention the kids don't ordinarily get from mom and dad. It's an opportunity to connect, playing games and so forth. So another thing you want to do is to have some special treats reserved for Shabbat so that the kids are looking forward to Shabbat all week. These little things make the Sabbath special for them and make them love the things of God, that they're anticipating the Sabbath day. They learn to love holiness and to desire godliness if you make it sweet for them. Make it a good thing for them and not a day of extra scoldings and extra crabbiness. When Shabbat comes, you want them to be thrilled that it's finally arrived, that it's finally Shabbat. All right, but regardless of who you are, here's my larger point. It's Shabbat. Don't turn on the TV. You don't need to turn on the news. You don't need to surf the web on your phone. It's the Sabbath. In the current crisis, it might be a good idea for one person in the household to leave a phone on, even if you don't ordinarily leave your phone on over Sabbath, so that if there's an emergency alert or something comes up where you need to be reached, someone can reach you. But instead of plugging into media to pass the day, you want to spend some quality time with Hashem on his day. Spend quality time with a spiritual book or reading the scriptures on Sabbath afternoon. Maybe spend some time discussing the scriptures with those in your household if you have other people living with you. Or if you have children living with you, spend some time discussing the Torah portion. Don't let your conversations spin into negativity or gossip or murmuring and grumbling. That's too easy to do. It's entertaining, and it's fun, and the flesh enjoys it. The flesh gets this evil energy from it. But we don't want to do that. Instead, speak to one another about the things of the kingdom and the things of the Lord. The mindset on the flesh wants to gossip, wants to complain, wants to murmur, wants to grumble. But the mind set on the things of the Spirit wants to speak about the things of the Lord. This is like what it says in the book of Malachi about those who fear the Lord, who spoke to one another, and a book of remembrance was written for them. It says in Malachi 3, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name." Isn't that what we want to accomplish? Shouldn't we desire that God should pay attention to us and hear our prayers and record our names in his book of remembrance? Those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. What did they speak about? They spoke about God, his kingdom, and how he is king and ultimately in control, and how this too is for the good. And how everything that God does is for the good, and how all things work together for the good of those who fear him and serve him. Malachi says, it says in that same prophecy, "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him." Malachi 3:16-18. I know the evil inclination in his ways. He'll try to use the current disruption in your life to break your good habits, daily prayer, daily study, daily acts of charity. And he'll also use the opportunity to try to profane the Shabbat. We're not unaware of his schemes, the apostles say. By being intentional with this time that we're sequestered in our homes, we can turn that around on him completely. We should increase in daily prayer. We should increase in daily study. We should increase in daily acts of charity and kindness, looking after others as much as we can, to the extent that we can, and we should increase in our delight in the holy Sabbath day. That's what it's like to keep the Shabbat at home under the COVID-19 restrictions. Then it's time for mincha and third meal, and you can do this. Read some words of Torah, some words of the Master. Read the gospel portion, the Perek Yomi, the daily gospel portion. Sing some songs. Sing Psalm 23 three times. End the Sabbath with evening prayers and Havdalah. If you don't have a Havdalah candle, you can just hold two candles together so their wicks are touching. If you don't have spices, hey, you've got some spices in the spice rack. You can pass those around. Make a distinction between the holy and profane, between light and dark, between 6 days of labor and the seventh day, between Israel and the nations. Mark the end of the Shabbat and return to the 6 days of regular time. By keeping the Sabbath holy, special, and set apart, it's going to bring rhythm and routine to your life, and that's especially important when the regular rhythm and routine of life has been disrupted, as is the case today. Here's the reality. We don't know how long this will last. These birth pangs of Messiah can go on for a long time. It's been nearly 2,000 years so far. And we don't know how long we will need to remain hunkered down in our homes, or if the situation might escalate into a national or regional lockdown. Some people are already under lockdown. And over in Wuhan, they are still under lockdown, even though new cases of the virus have subsided. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what the world will look like tomorrow. But we do know that everything is in God's control. And not even a sparrow falls to the ground apart from the will of our Father in heaven. We should not allow fear or panic to disturb the peace that passes understanding that we feel deep within the core of our being. On the Sabbath, we focus in on the peace and draw it out from within ourselves, the peace of Messiah, of which he said, "Shalom I leave with you, my shalom I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.